There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to WCN TV tonight. What a privilege it is for me to be here all the way from the UK, which is thousands and thousands of miles away. It's not Mike Spalding. It's not Rob Pugh. It's Mark Sutherland here from the UK. So thank you for joining me. We're going to discuss. I'm going to bring on one of my best friends. We're going to discuss the mood in America. Then we will flip it and we will discuss what is happening here in the UK. You may have heard there is a rumour that we in the UK have an election on the 4th of July. And we've certainly heard that you have a presidential election in November this year. And I'm going to bring David on because I want an update on all the J6 prisoners and everything. I'm sure, like me, that we can't, at times, we have to constantly take a breath of how the lawfare that's going on and how the law is being weaponized. And it's happening over here in the UK. David, I just want to thank you for joining me. David Summerall of StopHate.com, documentary filmmaker, having made 3 documentaries about Jan 6 prolifically. I would say to you, not because he's one of my best friends, but I would say to you that within America, if not the world, he is the expert on Jan 6, an expertise that he would lay down tomorrow if all the prisoners were released. And it's sad that, to be frank, that on Jan 6, that 2021, that this event, that what has transpired from that arrest, and the sad death of patriots on that day, that's the last thing that we would have wanted as people were there that day exercising their constitutional rights. David, can you hear me, sir? Can I bring you in?
I can, you can, we can. If you can see me and hear me, let's go.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant. How are you, my friend? How are you?
Well, I am doing as well as I can, considering the circumstances, ready for a long break when this is all over. It just, you know, for 3.5 years, we've been waiting for that moment. It hadn't come yet.
I know.
Holding better. Yeah.
I know. You have just recently been on another trip to Washington, D.C. to testify on behalf of one of the people that has been arrested in regard to J6 and all those accusations. And I just would like to say publicly that when I will say this on your behalf, not to embarrass you, but to just state facts, that when David goes and he drives all the way there to Washington, D.C. from his home, which is a considerable drive, that is on his own dime. That is on his own dime. And he then will appear to make his appearance in the court as he is there to defend J6 prisoners. And he may be mucked around. He may not be sure what day it's going to be, hour, et cetera, et cetera. So there is huge amounts of inconvenience. I also want to say this, and it's not because of me, and I didn't do it on his last trip, so I beg his forgiveness for that. But on other trips, it's not unknown for me to phone him up, to speak to him, and to pray for him and to pray for that trip that he is undertaking. Now, I'm outside of America. I'm in the UK. And why am I doing that? Because the incidents that we've seen in Canada with the convoy, the certain injustices that we've seen over here, and that we may come to that, all of these incidents are linked, which is lawfare, which is the control, which is the propaganda, which is the threat to the constitutional republic that you live over there, that you live under in America, and the threat to our democracy. And we have seen that in regard to all the pandemic, the lockdown. And now we have Fauci in Congress backpedaling and being held to account over all that's gone on. So every time we've been called conspiracy theorists, we're running out of conspiracy because it's all true and it unfolded. David, could you please give me an update? I know, I do apologize that preamble. I know you were in Washington, D.C. recently, but what are the prisoner numbers at the moment? How many people are incarcerated?
We still have, I don't know, close to 300. I know it's over 200 people still in jail. You know, it's kind of a revolving door, Mark, at this point. You know, people come in, they serve time, they go out, they come in, they go out, you know, and some of the people that were there in the beginning are starting to get out more. As a matter of fact, during the Fauci hearings, very famously, one of the J6ers, Brandon Fellows, who was just released several days ago from his J6 involvement, he was sitting right behind Fauci. He's the one making faces.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
So listen, people need to get used to the fact that J6ers are here to stay. Our sense of humor may be somewhat different than theirs, but we refuse to surrender, never surrender, and never not be seen. You know, I mean, that's the thing. We're not ashamed to get out there in public and do what's right. And I know a lot of people think mocking Fauci may not be right, but there's nothing wrong about it. I mean, if they're going to be offended by someone making faces like that, it's pretty funny to see. But I understand it might be, you know, juvenile or whatnot. But hey, it certainly went viral and got a lot of attention. I thought it was worth it.
Mm. Well, he's actually, after what he has been through, which is appalling, it's a way of relieving stress. But more importantly, it's a way of actually making an important point, because that man that he's sitting behind thinks, look at the amount of people that he lives that he needs to be held accountable for, etc. And there he is. And I'm not advocating any violence, but there he is going on about his wife being threatened, his children being threatened. Okay. But look at what he then mandated. And there he is going, the 6-foot rule, I didn't really make it up and all this. So I don't blame that gentleman at all, because it went viral, it's made a point, and everyone is suddenly being reminded of what the J6s have been through. So,
well, and I think you can't take away from that, Mark. You know, when people want to talk about what harassment's like, social terrorism, death threats, you know, we should have all been shot or hung. I mean, this is the common theme in the crazy side of politics about J6ers. And, you know, same as in D.C., we see that's why they're not getting fair trials. The juries feel like, you know, 30% feel like the death penalty should be on the table for these grandmas that took a tour of the Capitol. So, you know, we're dealing with a bunch of nut jobs, and that's just D.C. There's no difference between the jurists and the judges and the prosecutors. They all drink the same Kool-Aid or whatever it is. They're all batshit crazy, in my opinion.
Well, we're seeing that, and we'll come on to at some point in the conversation, we'll come on to President Trump as well. But I'll tell you what, David, as usual, you make a brilliant point. Can you describe, when a J6er is arrested, could you describe how the three-letter agencies go about that, or the particular three-letter agency goes about that, what they do, how many people they turn up with? What is the J6 arrest experience that, frankly, we can't believe?
Well, I think the closest thing people can visually put up, you remember when Roger Stone was raided and they had, a dozen or two, troops and all the black and the guns and the stuff and Big Scary and all that. You know, multiply that times violent intent or a really obscene intimidation level, because these policemen, on these raids, they're looking for a response, man. They want, in my opinion, for somebody to pop off so they can do what's next, to further show that these Trump supporters are crazy, or whatever. But I mean, honestly, it's really no difference. J6ers are put at such a disadvantage, Mark. Let me explain this. As a homeowner, if we hear someone in the early morning hours kicking our front door in, your first instinct is to grab your weapon and go and defend your home and your family who is asleep. Seems like these three-letter agencies like to impersonate bad people in the early morning hours and come and bang on your door. If you don't answer it fast enough, they beat it open for you. And then you're covered in all these green dots or red dots, as they're pointing their machine guns at you and your children and your wives, your whole family. It's just amazing that nobody's been, hurt by these folks yet, because they're obviously being told bad information and then going to effect these arrests. Of course, the sheriff's departments aren't doing their due diligence in protecting their citizens. And you can't blame them. I mean, the way the system is set up, a sheriff's not going to get a warrant and go investigate that crime himself. He doesn't have the manpower for that. He just goes to help, effect the warrant. But in these cases, when the FBI is coming into town and questioning people over and around the authority of that local sheriff, in other words, they're coming to my house, they're not even telling the sheriff. They're coming and questioning people in their homes, not telling them, they're not asking for permission to do any of that. So only do they go through the enforcement, law enforcement, when we're making the arrest. So, and they're only asking for witness or backup, and it's hard to say, wait a minute, guys, I want to look over this because, I'm the last line of defense between a tyrannical government. What do you want to lose your gear, your equipment, your MRAP, your war machines and stuff that the police department has? Don't balk against the system or they'll cut your funding off. And I mean, this is the same thing that goes, it's the pay to play for the cops. No different.
Absolutely. And I had the privilege to interview young Felicia Canold, and when Felicia was, I mean, she's mother of I think one child at the time, and was pregnant, and just what she went through as well, where there's red dots all over her. And I'm just thinking that, she just turned up that day. She'd been touring America. She turned up that day, and just, as a patriot, see what was going on in Washington, D.C., and then found herself in the building. And then the rest is history, gets arrested and then gets put in jail.
Well,
And then, sorry.
It's funny because they set the prerequisite that, when you're raiding a J6er's home, of course you have to use a full SWAT unit, the whole shock and awe, and you have to make a proclamation to their neighborhood. You have to make an announcement so that all the neighbors are in shock and awe as well. And that's the complimentary flashbang grenade that so many people have talked about, cops throwing a flashbang in their front yard for nothing. I mean, these people, many of whom have already spoken with lawyers and or the FBI and have made some pre-arrangements. I've heard of certain people that we both know that had an arrangement for Monday to go in and meet with the FBI, do it the correct way, but on Friday before Monday, 6 a.m. raid, all but beat the door in, handcuff the entire family, all but one, because they ran out of handcuffs, and march them all outside in whatever weather, hot or cold, usually cold, for the last couple months. It's been a horrible thing to listen to these stories of these children being out in the cold with no blanket, barefooted in their pajamas, or guys in boxers being led around. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way they're doing this, and using a military force like that on citizens for what, misdemeanors? Doesn't make a lot of sense unless it does.
No, and it's just, I mean, it's just total intimidation. And David, I just could you kindly remind us, sadly, of the people that day that lost their lives? Could you remind us of the names of those amazing people?
Yeah, absolutely. Ashley Babbitt was shot by Michael Byrd. Roseanne Boylan was gassed, trampled, and beaten by MPD officer Lila Morris at the tunnel, Roseanne Boylan. Kevin Greeson, very suspect about the concussion grenades down in the front of the West Plaza. Same with Benjamin Phillips. He died before the grenades started, but there was a lot of, you know, verbal assaulting going on both ways. The police were upsetting people in various ways, and he got tied up and fell over. And then, of course, Brian Sicknick, Officer Sicknick, who we were lied to and still continue people to this day. Oh, he was bludgeoned to death. No, he wasn't. He had a stroke. He died. You know, we're sad, and it was terrible. But the way that they've covered his death up and put his body, laid his urn in state in the Capitol for 3 days and buried him at Arlington like their hero, the cover-up spin that they put on that just reemphasizes the fact that he's our hero, you know, and he is the one that's helping uncover some of the lies that they told in and around January 6th to cover up their crimes. And unfortunately, Officer Sicknick's family very much dislikes me because I won't let the story go. And that's fine. I understand. I want them to understand he's my hero. He's J6ers heroes. He's your hero too. And that's great. But don't take that away from us because he's helping expose the crimes of the deep state at this point, we'll just call it, because they used him. And his family needs to understand that and recognize what it looks like. And we know it's terrible and awful. And we're not poking fun at them because it's a horrible feeling to be tricked. But they got tricked. And they were told lies in the beginning. They ran with it. It's hard to back up from that, I understand. And I'm not asking them to change for me. I just want them to be open-minded and see the reality about what happened to Brian and understand why we won't let it go. And I think that's very important for the rest of the country as well.
I couldn't agree more with you. David, what's the link with, sadly, the events of that day and then the appalling arrests that have gone on? And what's the link between that and what we've just seen with 34 counts saying that President Trump is guilty in Manhattan? In your eyes, is there a link between the two?
Oh my gosh, Mark, you know as well as I do, that's a loaded question. There's a huge red line that Obama drew all the way through this stuff, if you want to, you know, paint it with that color brush. But, you know, there's this template, as we call it, as I do these speaking engagements and stuff all over. It's a template. They used it on General Flynn. They've used it on J6ers for 3.5 years, and they're using it on Trump. It's the same template, you know, and you use what works, and that's in their tool bag. That's in their arsenal as far as how they make this smear campaign, as Nancy Pelosi called it, stick. And, you know, it's a long game, and it started with Hillary and the deplorables even before that. I mean, you think about the Patriot Act and how that's being used on patriots. And then you see that the same people that set that up back in the day are the same people in control now. You see people like Biden or Christopher Wray or some of these long-term players, even the carryover between Whitmer kidnapping plot. We've all heard that, you know, beat the old drum with that story. It's the same field operator, FBI guy, Stephen D'Antuono, that came to D.C. right before January 6th and did the same thing again. So we're seeing templates being used in all these different situations. That's why people don't need to be, you know, shocked or surprised when Trump goes to jail, because, oh, he can't go to jail as president. Well, you never thought it could get this far either. You can't charge an ex-president or whatever, all these things that are happening anyway. So when you understand that the judge is going to say, guys, I'm sorry. There's a guideline, and I have to stay within the guideline. And it says 1 to 5 or 1 to 4. I'm just going to give him, you know, the minimum 1, so I can look like a good guy. Like, I'm not trying to be aggressive, but 1 puts him in Rikers, you know? And if Benny Thompson over here, the communist dude that hates J6ers, lied in the Select Committee, if he's going to take away the Secret Service from Trump, man, is that not attempted something or other? I mean, it's horrible to see how evil these people are and how much they don't listen to the will of the people. I mean, this is a direct slap in our face over here, brother, and we're feeling it, and more people are walking around with a red cheek and understanding, you know, where we really are now. They might not have known before, but they do now.
Well, I've actually got a Hillary for Prism 2016 InfoWars sticker in my hand. I just saw it there. The reason why I'm holding that up, not for effect, but if we are, you know, all equal under the law, where is the law concerning that woman and Obama and the Clintons? Where is it? I think that is what people will begin to ask. We want the law to be fair. David, I hear you, which may not be surprising if he ends up in jail with how they've pushed certain things. What is the future? How do you see the time between now and the presidential election in November, viewing it through your incredible eyes, really, and your lens, because you've been StopHate.com. You founded that. We're talking 30 years ago now, David. Have I got that maths right?
A little longer than that, but we'll settle for 30. Any longer makes me look like a dinosaur. So we'll
bless you, mate. You're not a dinosaur, but you've been engaged in this for a long, long time. And as you constantly say to me about the long game, but we've got a short few months. How do you think things are going to play out in America between now and November? What's the mood in America at the moment through your eyes, through your lens?
Well, you know, everybody's trying to be entertained. That's really the name of the game. And all of a sudden, politics is the number one form of entertainment. It's extremely riveting and engaging and frustrating and maddening. And, you know, everybody wants their team to win. It's almost like we've been programmed for this through sports and colleges and high school. It's almost like that team mentality of, we're going to kill you. I mean, you know, theoretically. That just drives people mad. Now they're using all this thought process, thought crimes, guilty by association, whose team are you on, against all of us. So I think it's a very interesting time. I kind of have to look at the AI model. I was reading the other day where someone asked AI how it would take over the world. One of the things was to distract the population, to keep them engaged, to keep them unaware of what's going on over here, by letting them help do something over here that they think they're really, you know, contributing to, and it's really a nothing, you know. And so what I think that is at this point is the election. I really do. And I think the more people take that bait and stay engaged and fight, you know, red versus blue, let's do this R&D thing. Everybody keep looking right there, because you're not supposed to see what's going on either other side of the propaganda teams, if you get my drift. So just keep focused on what they tell you to focus on. Be good little citizens. You know, vote, and be ready. You know, fight for Trump, whatever it is. I don't see it like that. I don't think we're getting to an election, Mark. I don't think we'll get there, because look at the change in the numbers with all the illegals that have been shipped. And look at the last election. I mean, like, we're ever going to have faith after that? And then now you have millions of new demographic changes coming across the border. So I really don't have a lot of faith in that system. And I don't think anybody else does either. And yet we're still going to vote. I just don't see it getting that far. I think that knowing what we know about what happened on January 6th, knowing more of the inner workings of the legalities and what is and isn't, that it leaves more doors open for that whole diversion play, you know, the whole end around, or the Statue of Liberty, you know, where you hold the ball up and the guy runs around behind and takes the ball and runs around it's going to be one of those things. It's got to be. And I just don't want the rest of the public to be upset because they got tricked, because they got duped, because it's necessary. Listen, it's widely known it's easier to trick people than it is to convince them. Look, Trump tried for 4 years to convince people that the deep state was horrible. Now he's spent the last 4 years letting them show you themselves. Yeah. So let the man do his work and what he has planned, and do this Statue of Liberty play. And I think people will be shocked. It's going to be wild.
No, I hear. Jonathan, could you kindly show us the American Gulag Chronicles link? And David, I just could you introduce the books again? Can you talk about where people can go to buy the book and raise money for the J6 prisoners?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the best way to do that, in my opinion. And thank you, Mark, for being a part of this organization. We've raised a lot of money for these folks. It goes straight to them. What this is their letters from prison. Tim Rivers, Marie Goodwin put this first book, Letters from Prison, together. The second book is The Art of Confinement. You can go to lettersfromprison.us, or you can go to americangulagchronicles.com, either one. And lettersfromprison.us is easy to remember. Go there. $45 for the books. If you buy both books, you get $10 off. Help us kind of seed this back into, our history, because the media, the judges, the lawyers, nobody wanted these stories to get out straight from the prisoners' hands, what they've experienced, what they went through, the FBI, the homes, the families, the judges, why they were there on January 6th in the first place. It's really amazing. I suggest both books. You can't get one and not get the other. So, it's a good chance to get $10 off and really help these people. All volunteer run, as you know, Mark. So 100% of the proceeds go to the families and their prisoners. It's been a great way to minister to them. And our sales are down, man. Everybody's tight on money. Everything's, really short. So we really are begging people, please go buy a set of books. Buy an extra set for your library if you're in a position to do that, or buy them for gifts. Christmas is coming, all this good stuff. A lot of people need this. It's history. And I think you'll be really impressed with how these are put together. You can go to lettersfromprison.us and see a little demo, a little electronic version, so people can get a preview of what that's like. But please get involved, write them letters, get the book, see what that looks like, then get in there, write letters, then adopt somebody and give them some money every month, five, 10 bucks. They're in desperate need. We get letters and calls, every week from people that are at the end of their rope and trying to tie a knot in it. And we're just trying to help with that. So all the help that we can get is greatly appreciated.
No, David, thank you. Because the consequences are, I know we've said this so many times, and it's a privilege to say as much as it's painful. But if if the principal breadwinner is then put in prison, is locked up, then it means that people, the roof over their head is
Oh,
threatened as a
sure.
family, their car payments are threatened after they come out, or everyone's tarring them with the same brush. They then are not being able to be employed because they say you're a J6 prisoner. It then tars all the family and all the rest.
Oh,
So,
listen.
sorry.
It's total chaos for these families. I mean, we get calls all the time. We're losing the truck. We're losing the house. We can't pay groceries. Do we pay groceries or do we pay rent? We can't feed the kids, or they're going to shut the phone off. Then we don't have any commu- I mean, there's every single week, and you're exactly right. You take the breadwinner and do this. This is the intent of the government, is to take this pound of flesh and to really make these pain points. At first they use them to get pleas and to get deals, and people don't want to suffer long. And then they torture these families. And like you said, without the breadwinner there, without the role model, the father figure, all these things, so many times it's the guy. And we've got guys in there that have never seen their newborn kid, 3 years later, stuff like that. I mean, it's ridiculous what this government is doing. And that's why Trump says it's not prisoners, but hostages. Prisoners have rights. These guys, it's a flip of the coin whether or not they have rights. It's up to the warden or the judge or whoever's in their control. And most of the time, they don't have rights. So they're hostages, bro.
And this is the history. The reason why it's called the American Gulag Chronicles is because the reference to the gulag is to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was locked up as a he was a Russian officer. He then made a he wrote in a letter, made some comment about Stalin's mustache, and then found himself in the gulag. And then absolutely incredible man who wrote Gulag Archipelago, where he's talking about his experience of being in a gulag
That's right. That's right.
within Russia. And that is what it is. So it's quite shocking to say that there are political prisoners in America, which there are. And various people may dispute that. But I think if they look back over the last 3.5 years, and to be honest, my brother, I sit here and I say 3.5 years, I can't quite believe that. And I'm going to be guarded in this comment, and again, I don't want to embarrass David, but I have, on a personal level, I've seen the stress of taking those calls and trying to help people and deal with that. I've seen the stress of that with my own eyes. And as I say, I'm not saying this to be big. I don't live in America. I'm outside. And as I've constantly said, if America goes down, then that is it, is what it's what it actually stands for. And as David has quite pointed out, we will segue in, because as David and I agreed when we said we'd do the program, then we're discussing this. And then he very kindly is going to ask me questions about what's happening in the UK, because there is a similarity on a number of things. And he referred to the invasion on the southern border with the millions and millions of illegal immigrants that are coming over there. The President of the United States, O'Biden administration, with the huge hint to Obama, is then deliberately allowing that to happen. And people think, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. It is happening. So, David, I wonder. Let's switch. You very kindly become the host, and then when you can move on into asking me about what's happening in the UK, my friend.
Well, you know, that's perfect segue, Mark, because I am interested. Because look, the way we see things in America, you know, we consider ourselves good people. And a lot of times other countries look at us like we're the spoiled brat or the rich kid or the people with everything that don't appreciate what they have, you know, all kinds of stupid politician things that make us look bad. So looking out, we don't really know, you know, we're not the ones looking in at ourselves. It's everyone else, but we can look in at you, and we have our stereotypes, you know, about your situation, you know, our preconceived ideas. So my question, first of all, is what is your thought as to your government? What do they tell you people about your influx of immigrants, about your migration problems? Because I feel like we see it from the United States, see more and have seen more for longer about your immigration problems than your government has admitted to you that you have, from stabbings in the street down. So explain, how do they try to counsel y'all that you don't have an immigration problem?
Well, you could actually say that there was this creation of utter fear to be able to even talk about it, because under Tony Blair, who left as Prime Minister in 2007, he was elected in 97 to 2007, and then he opened the doors to, and I'm not, you know, a few thousand people from Eastern Europe, from Poland, and then it became this flood, and then it became a flood of other people under the Conservative government. How do they play it? Well, at that point, it was like, well, if you're going to discuss this, then you must be a complete and utter racist, and look at what these people are suffering. They've gone through a heck of a lot to get here and all the rest. And brave, incredible people, and I'll say it publicly, like Tommy Robinson, because of the grooming gangs in Rotherham and north and up north in our country, and you would have heard about that, raised all this issue, would talk about it. And then that gentleman has been, Tommy has been in prison a number of times, threatened lawfare, and has suffered by breakup of his marriage, et cetera, because of that. And there would be some footage we could show of a march that he organized. So, David, how they play it, they moved it to a point on both sides where people felt that they could not discuss the issue. And now, as you are aware, we actually have an election. An election was called just over a week ago. We have an election happening on the 4th of July, interesting enough. On your wonderful Independence Day, we will be going to the polls. And suddenly we're discussing this, and we have to discuss this. And the supposed Conservative government, I call them con-socialists. They are liberals. And to show you how bad it is, David, so we would have, there's approximately 640 members of parliament within Westminster. So if you take if you take the country, it's divided into 640 odd constituents from the top of the country from the bottom to the top. So candidates, members of parliament who have been representing that constituents, maybe it will be standing again, even though a lot of people are leaving because they're leaving a sinking ship. But the Conservative government, they are not selecting candidates. They don't want Brexiteers. They don't want anyone that on the 23rd of January 2016, of the 17,410,752 people with a majority of over a million who voted out, they do not want any candidate like that who would support that, who would support Brexit, which is utterly, utterly astounding. So if we take the definition of conservative, which means to conserve, this is a family show, so I won't swear. They are not interested in conserving anything. They are globalist elitists. They are liberals. And frankly, David, any country, and here's the relation here, any country that is not in charge of its own borders, is not in charge of its own money supply, is not in charge of its own language, is not in charge of its own language, you can then argue is not a country anymore. And this is the point that we have reached. So really, how have they done it? And I'll admit, I'll give you a little anecdote, my dear friend. In 2015, I was on a radio show with two friends of mine who I had in America, who I've actually, I've met, I've spent some time with. And I was on their show in 2015. I had the privilege to meet them last year. And I was asked, because my friend Gaddy, total expert, terrorism expert, and being a wonderful Jewish man from Israel, terrorism expert, understood that. And then he was concerned about the influx of refugees immigration from Islamic countries then into Europe and all stuff like this. And he asked me a question. And I basically said, I'm going to politely sidestep this. Now, there are a number of reasons. One, a couple that I won't go into, but David would know that. But also because there was like this fear of talking about certain things. How would this thing be portrayed? Now, I've come a long way since that, and so have many others in this country. But that's the reality, David. I would actually say it's fear. And also they're laughing in our faces. They've had this Rwanda policy about, taking illegal immigrants, putting them on planes and then flying them to Rwanda and Africa. And there's an agreement and all this. The fact that, supposedly we have a British Navy, we're not even putting that in the middle of the channel. The channel, which in 1944, brave men from America, with a huge bombing campaign during 1943 of Germany, and the fact that many Americans were stationed over here. And then on 1944, the Normandy landings, and on one day, I think it's either Omaha or Gold Beach, 10,000 Americans are killed or injured in one day. Something that, I'm very grateful for, but it seems as though that people want to forget that. Why did all those men, including relatives of mine involved in world wars, why did they make that sacrifice for us just to not believe in our nation anymore, not believe in nationhood and borders? But we all know, and I'll make this at this point, David, that we all know that as scripture says, as the Bible talks about, creating a one world government system. And if you're going to create a one world government, then you have to get rid of borders. You have to get rid of nation states. That's what's happening to you. That's what's happening to us. That's why people are feeling absolutely threatened in regard to their country and their future of their country. I don't know if that may be a very long-winded way of answering it, but I'm just trying to paint an arc there, my brother. I just hope that makes sense to you.
Absolutely. It actually answered the second question of what's the mood. Like you always ask me, what's the mood over here? That kind of explains it. So over here, Mark, you know, of course, we have a lot of involvement from the secret guys, you know, the CIAs and the FBI, all these different. And I know you have your own versions, but how much is that playing into the propaganda that's leading these different events that are happening over there? And how much of that is, you know, shielding the public, I guess, from the truth through your media, and how connected is that?
Well, I think there is no doubt about it, and we can't be accused of being conspiracy theorists anymore because it's out there. But during the whole, you know, the plandemic of nonsense and all the lockdowns and all the rest, and that when people were wanting to talk about these things, and then what you had what's called Battalion 7-7 within the army, which is using tech warfare to fight the enemy in that sense, you know, they use computers and stuff like that. They were then using that against the British people in regard to spying and stuff like that. And of course, TV companies, propaganda, they were all complicit within that. And it's reached a point now, definitely organizations like the BBC have to be defunded. You have to get rid of that. But it is publicly funded. But the mood is, and we can, in a second, I'll get Jonathan to play some footage, and we'll talk about a march that just happened a few days ago. But the mood is that people are really trying to move. Some people are trying to move from the mainstream media who are awake, myself, other people I know, of course. We haven't watched that for a long time, but sadly, still people are still watching that. But David, now that, you know, you've just seen Fauci in Congress where they're holding him to account in regard to all the lockdowns, all the nonsense that sadly has killed people and destroyed people's businesses, destroyed people's lives. You know, we're seeing that same out here where evidence is coming out. But the big thing, and the same for you over there, whether any of these politicians will be held to account is another thing, because the waste, etc., is outrageous. And I don't apologize for the fact that behind me, you know, there's an Israeli flag, and my own personal beliefs, I stand with Israel shoulder to shoulder. And I am fed up with when I've seen these, you know, these marches going on, these Hamas marches. I think, as far as I'm concerned, before that there was the, you know, Black Lives Matter marches and all the rest. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if Jonathan shows this footage, we just show this footage of this march, and then I will show you, and then we'll quickly talk about, David, how that march has been vilified, how it's been written up in the press. It's astounding. So, Jonathan, if you just play this just happened a few days ago in London.
How's it going, Richard?
It's going great. I think considering what the potential is with a crowd like this, everyone's behaving impeccably.
Yes,
you know,
good.
We've got thousands of people, a bit boisterous, everyone's having a bit of a laugh, but there's no trouble. And that's what we want. We want a peaceful protest.
Big crowd.
Massive crowd. I think there's 15 lefties in town today. There's probably 20,000 of us, maybe more. Yes. I haven't even counted a minute.
Are you going to...
Thank you, Jonathan. Brilliant. That march happened, I think, last Saturday. That was organized by Tommy Robinson. And Tommy was using that event to show a documentary that he has made, Lawfare. Now, again, I just want to say this as pay tribute to him. He's not someone I know. A friend of mine does, but to pay tribute to him. because he has been front and center and ahead of the crowd on so many issues. And people have vilified him, et cetera, et cetera. But this march, David, just illustrates the mood that there, I think someone's talked about 120,000 people being there. There was only two people arrested, and they may even have been on the anti march of that. These people, David, were vilified. They were being called far right. Yes. So let's just go through this. Being called far right because they're holding England flags, Welsh flags, Scots flags. Sorry.
Let me just say, man, the similarities in that video, because I study a lot of video, are astounding to January 6th. And in particular, this guy reminds me of Ashley Babbitt walking down the street saying, you know, there's thousands of patriots, you know, we love our country, basically, speech, and we're standing up to do the right thing. The only thing that's missing from your video, Mark, is the police attacking the crowd and murdering some people. I mean, or you could have had your, because they say the same stuff about us. It seems like a global network that's trying to prove these same bad things about people that aren't true for that control. I mean, we see what George Washington University, we've talked about all this extremism, the white Christian nationalist talk, you know, all these things that they're trying to label people. They're trying to divide, you know, the United States, the R's from the D's. They've politicized everything. They've done that to y'all over there, and it's really sad that we as a people can't rise above our own differences to see through the game and say, wow, they're really playing us on each other. We should quit, you know?
I couldn't agree with you more, and you and I have had that conversation a number of times because of the people that you relate to. What you've just said in regard to the similarities there is quite profound. I mean, if that one particular gentleman, the guy in the foreground, the guy's just to the left of him there with his hand out with the camera. And he has a regular podcast, which he's had for a long, long time. And the thing is, there's people in that march that we can all relate to. That would be me. That would be you. They are ordinary concerned citizens of this country. And I'm, you know, if we discuss this whole thing of a trope of far right. So let's just discuss this. So what is this saying? Well, then they turn around and go, well, they're just a bunch of Nazis. And we go, well, this is really, really interesting. So Nazi, what is National Socialist Workers Party? The clue is in the second word. So they're socialists, right? And the Nazis are socialists. So this whole thing comes down to basically the means of production. We won't necessarily get into that now. What we're saying is that within Nazism, the dictatorship, the killing, et cetera, they weren't exactly into free speech or freedom, and they were into eugenics. So we'll just say that out. None of those people on that street would be for that. They would also be turning around and going, look, we're not against immigration. We want controlled immigration. But we net, I think last year, over the last 2 years, have taken in 750,000 people, right? David, you know how small this country is. I'll come out with the wonderful geography figure. We fit into the great state of Texas a minimum of 2.5 to nearly 2.75 times, right? Yes. We have a population approximately of 68 plus million people. We are there is a lot of land here, but I don't want it built on, and it is green and pleasant land. But we are a small island. Okay. Now, as I'm doing this with other interviews in regard to, our election, I'm doing a series of interviews where I'm interviewing, candidates for Reform UK. And I'll tell you what, Jonathan, if you put up my YouTube channel for the Sutherland Report, people can find these there. And David, what's interesting, like with what's happening in Texas, because I know that you and I have had these discussions. If you, the fact that there's an infrastructure problem, right? People coming in, there's a strain on, can they get doctor's appointments? There's a strain on schools. There's a strain on all of that. Jonathan, thank you. There's a strain on all of that. Okay. So this is the reality. And what is then happening as well, and it refers back to your first question, there was a few days ago in Germany, there was a gentleman who was speaking out against radical Islam, talking about Islamists, and he has been speaking out against that. Then he got attacked with a knife, and then a gentleman went in to save him. The man that went in to save him, the police then leapt on him to stop him. And then the policeman doing that then got stabbed by this NAFTA, and then eventually he got shot, then killed by another German policeman. In other words, they won't face up to the reality that we have jihadists in this country and in Europe, that we have to say it. Now, suddenly, there is a freedom to say these things, where people may not believe, they will not believe in the values of this country. And the reason why there was 120,000 plus patriots on the street, honestly, if you would, they were all in Parliament Square. Afterwards, it was spotless. There's no litter on there, no nothing. There was Israeli flags there, Iranian flags there as well. Just phenomenal. It was not violent. It was nothing like that at all. As I say, there were two arrests. Something else happened. Fine. It's not fine. It's wrong. But it's just the way people conducted themselves. David, sorry.
So real quick, I want to know, before we run out of time here, what is your vision for how this can be fixed? You know, what is there that people can do, you know, in your country to help solve these problems?
Well, I personally don't think that it's going to be solved through the political process, right? Even though the political process is going to be majorly is going to contribute this, but as Bible believing Christians, my brother, we have to accept that we are in the biggest spiritual battle of our lifetime, and we have to engage that with prayer. And I have to say to you that there is a remnant, but the remnant is it's small. We have churches over here that have out of Bible experiences, and also, to be honest, they plug into the globalist thinking. What's the problem with globalism? What's the problem with getting rid of a nation state? So I'm also looking at biblical prophecy, because I passionately believe we're in the end times. But how do we solve it? We get out on the streets, we have conversations with people. Our priority is to preach the gospel. That's right. And our priority is to try and have a government in this country that will allow us to have the freedom to do that. And frankly, we don't have that, and we may never have, and we may not have that. I don't find any of this easy to say publicly or palatable, because I'm living here, and you know, you have a right to bear arms against a tyrannical government. Am I advocating violence? No, I'm not, and I don't want to see certain things come down the pipe, but that may happen. But I am buoyed up to see that there are 120,000 people have said we've had enough. There are others, and I do believe, like in your country, there is a silent majority, David. And yes, I think people are beginning to see the reality of that. When we're having discussions about, you know, are there more than two sexes? Do me a favor. You know, we've got the whole transgender thing. We've got kids being given puberty blockers and all this kind of thing. And we think that this is right, and we think that this is normal. I mean, we all know where the ideology comes from, I think, from John Money. But this is the kind of thing that we are dealing with. Of course, it's family breakdown and everything else. But if you take Jesus out of the culture, and if you take fully out of the culture, then you're left with a vacuum. And what do you have? And then that vacuum is filled with things that are not helpful to the society.
Well, let me tell you, let us be an example for that, because we've taken God out of everything and look where we are. And I don't mean that with any kind of humor. It's the reality that we're living with, brother. And we're seeing that systematically across the board. And it's intentional. It's decades long plan. It really is. And now we know what the 3% felt like, supported by the 6%. Because guys like Richard Big O Barnett, you know, screaming out from prison saying, please don't forget about me. Please support me. Please help me. And we've got, you know, 1,500 more J6ers and their families just the same. Listen, real quick before we run out of time, I just want to say thank you to you, Mark. Today is the anniversary of that first documentary, Writing History, A Journalistic Battle, of January 6th. So you were a big part of that, and I appreciate your help and support. And I just want people to know that's what it looks like to stay in the game and to be consistent and to be dependable and a big support for, you know, everything we do at StopHate.com. Scroll down. It's like the third, fourth picture on that homepage there, Writing History. And of course, your voice is forever in the history books in that one, brother. And appreciate you being a big part of that.
Well, I'm honored and I'm very touched by what you just said. So thank you, because all I did was get on a plane, and by getting on a plane and being obedient, I then met you, and the rest is history. I look forward to seeing you again at some point this year. But thank you for that, and thank you for joining, you know, for us being able to do this. And just say, Jonathan, thank you for producing this, I think, in the last couple of minutes. But by having this discussion, you know, we, in a sense, and I know I tease you with this, that we may speak the same language, but our cultures are dramatically different. And you don't pronounce aluminium properly, and you don't spell center properly, but I will forgive you for that. But the key thing is that there is, but also we are joined. But by having these discussions, you know, it's saying to, and there are one or two friends that are on here that I, you know, and dear Betty, I'll call out there and thank her for joining us, is that then it means we have a discussion. We all need each other across the world. Our Canadian brothers and sisters desperately need us as well, and especially with what they have been through. But we see that there are people all over the world that, despite what their governments are doing, they profoundly disagree with them. So, David, I as always, you know, we come on and we have an incredible unscripted discussion, and God puts all of these shows together. And thank you for what you said about that footage, because you're absolutely right, and it's absolutely profound, because it's exactly the same with what's happening over here and with what's happening with you. So we all need each other. Jonathan, I think we're at the end, are we, sir? Brilliant. Well, David, I just want to thank you. Please go and buy the book, American Gulag Chronicles. Go to stophate.com and support David's work. Thank you for joining me, my dear friend. It means a lot.
Thanks, Mark. God bless you, brother.